The following sermon is from East Haven Baptist Church in Kalispell, Montana. It's our hope and prayer that through this message you'll have an encounter with Jesus. If you'd like to know more about us, go to easthaven.org.
So we continue looking at the life of the good King Josiah. We'll be in 2 Chronicles chapter 34. You see it up there on the screen. If you want to go ahead and turn in your copy of God's Word, we'll be reading from verse 29 through the end of the chapter of 34 in tonight's passage. I tend to keep big decisions and big defining statements close to my chest. Don't like broadcasting those things out there to a lot of people. I'm not one to go on Instagram or Facebook and announce big life-altering declarations. Whole30, fitness plans, money management changes, lifestyle decisions, those things, I just kind of keep them to myself because the reality is, the truth is, to announce them out loud to all of the world is to invite a level of scrutiny that I am not all that interested in. People, you know, if I'm like announcing this lifestyle diet change thing, you know, people are going to be like looking at me with eyes of scrutiny, and they will then see my hand in a bag of Doritos and be like, whatever, you know, and it's like, I want to eat my Doritos in freedom. So therefore, I will not announce those things. I think the increased scrutiny and my fear of it betrays a bigger issue in my life of this idea of half-hearted commitment. You know, nothing reveals half-hearted commitment more than announcing something out there for the whole world to see and then the next day to fail in that. I have done the walk of shame before. I don't know if you have, but I have. I have made an announcement. I remember when I was a little kid, we were in Houston, it was before we moved to Montana, there was a neighborhood pool, which was awesome, and we would go there a lot, and it had a low dive and a high dive. I made a decision, and I announced it out loud. I am going off the high dive, said the 7-year-old. And you know, you can see what the story goes. It is a mile high. I don't know. I didn't count the steps, but it took me forever to get to the top. You're on the bottom and you're like, I totally got this. You're on the top and you're like, whose idea was this? You walk out, slowly out, midway to the board, and you realize that there is not a chance you're going off this thing. But you got a line behind you now, and everybody you told is watching. And I've done the walk of shame. Excuse me. Sorry, my fault. Done that. Hate the walk of shame. But you know what? There are some people, some of you are these people in my life. There are some people in my life who make these big declarative statements about life change and you walk them out. Drive me nuts. And I'm like, wow, that's amazing. That is so cool. Look, they said they were going to do it and they did it. And I find myself going back up the high dive as a result. But see, when we make these declarative statements and then we walk them out in truth and commitment and we sell ourselves to it, when we're all in, people see the statement, they see our life, they see how we're living, and it causes people like me to look at the high dive again and go back up. There's a lot of influence in that, isn't there? There's a whole lot of influence when we make this statement and then follow through with what we say. That's a powerful thing. We're going to look at that as we look at the life of Josiah. When we last left Josiah, he had just heard from the Lord. Remember, he had the word of the Lord read to him by Shaphan, and what he heard wrecked him, emotionally and spiritually just was just like broke him. And from that place of brokenness, he sent his group of guys, his tight circle, and said, go inquire of the Lord, because I read about his wrath and I just need to know what's coming next. I gotta know. And so they went and consulted the prophetess Huldah. Remember? Not if you were with me last week, because that makes me feel better. He consulted Huldah, and Huldah gave him the news of the Lord. This is what the Lord said. And Josiah heard these words of profound judgment that was coming. Imminent judgment is on the way. This is what the Lord said. And then right after that, he hears these words of grace because of his broken heart. Because he was broken before the Lord, he's the recipient of grace. And that's where we left Josiah. And what happens next in the story of Josiah is so cool, because it gives us another unique look into his heart. And he has this powerful moment of influence that I want us to look at together tonight. And be challenged with this, that we are to be people of influence who declare the good news we've received, to live it out and to pass it on. That's what we're supposed to be doing. Look with me in our passage in 2 Chronicles chapter 34, starting in verse 29, this is what it says. It says, so the king sent messengers and gathered all the elders of Judah and Jerusalem, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, as well as the priests and the Levites, all the people from great to small. He read in their hearing all the words of the book of the covenant that had been found in the Lord's temple. Next, the king stood at his post and made a covenant in the Lord's presence to follow the Lord and to keep his commandments, his decrees, and his statutes with all his heart and with all his soul in order to carry out the words of the covenant written in this book. Then he had all those present in Jerusalem and Benjamin enter the covenant. So all the inhabitants of Jerusalem carried out the covenant of God, the God of their ancestors. So Josiah removed everything that was detestable from all the lands belonging to the Israelites, and he required all those who were present in Israel to serve the Lord their God. Throughout his reign, they did not turn aside from following the Lord God of their ancestors. Our passage for this evening. So Josiah's just received this, the words of impending judgment, and also the words of reprieve, the grace that God had for Josiah. And the truth is, once Josiah received that word, the word back from Huldah, once Josiah did that, Josiah could have just kind of kicked back in that moment, breathed a sigh of relief, and been like, whew, I'm good. Breakout Mediterranean's finest wine, I'm ready to kick back and relax. I'm good. God's given me his grace. He could have been done. He could have been done, but that's not what Josiah did. So Josiah had this private moment with the Lord. He privately sought out the Lord. He then purposefully went and cleansed the land of idols and the high places. And he heard back from the, he heard the word of the Lord and heard the Lord's response to him. And he could have just stayed right there. Conviction, repentance, grace received, all private, between God and him, done. Could have done that. But in our passage, what we see is that Josiah goes public with his personal change. Josiah goes public. He makes this great declarative statement to all the people. And it is a moment in which Josiah puts on display the change that has happened for all in his world to see. And it leaves him with this platform, this to extend the same opportunity to others. And I want to look at that. It starts with this declaration and then it ends kind of with this invitation. And I want us to look at that together tonight. Josiah makes a very personal commitment and a very personal change that he's made, and he makes it very public. He makes it very public. Look back at what he does here at verses 29 through 31. You see this big statement. First of all, Josiah gathers all in his world of influence to come. So everyone that he has influence over, he invites to come to this moment. Look at who he invites. He invites the elders, which would be the local village leaders, with all the men of Judah and Jerusalem, along with the priest and Levites and all the people, great and small. Pretty much that includes everybody, doesn't it? Starts with the elders and the priests and the Levites, all those who are in Jerusalem, and then all the people, great and small. That just pretty much includes everybody. Everybody gets the invitation, and they go up to the temple. I love that. Do you see what it says there? It says, the king went up to the Lord's temple with all of these people. He takes them to church. I love that. He takes these people, all these people, to where the obvious context is about worship and doing life with God. See, Josiah could have made this statement he's getting ready to make. He could have done all this from wherever. He could have gone to the gates of the city and made this great announcement to everybody who arrived. He could have just stayed there at his palace and made an announcement, but he didn't. He takes everybody to the restored temple, and from the God-designed place to encounter him, he makes this declaration. And I love that because it's as if, just as Josiah is taking all the people to the temple, he's kind of making this statement, God, I'm going to do this according to your way, according to your desires. You have a way that we are to encounter you, and I'm going to honor that. So we're headed to the temple. We're going to go to the temple, and I have something to say to the people. He makes this declaration. I love that. It's a God-glorifying moment, a moment in which Josiah shows that God is greater and he, Josiah, is not. And I like what he does. Look what he does here. It says in verse 30, he read in there, all those people hearing. I don't know how they pulled that off without headset mics and all that, but somehow the acoustics are really good in Jerusalem. Maybe it's because it's surrounded by stone. I don't know. He read in their hearing all the words of the book of the covenant that had been found in the Lord's temple. I love that. He reads the word to the people. It's the same word that was read to him by Shaphan. And Josiah takes what was read to him and now reads it to the people. It's as if Josiah is saying, here is what changed me. Hear the words that changed me. And he reads them out loud. This reading, the same reading he heard, this reading that declares the greatness of God, it puts on display the truth of who God is, and it puts on the display the truth of who the people are and the nation. And it makes this very evident just by reading through it. We kind of talked about that last week. And it says, look what it says, what happens next. It says, next, the king stood at his post and made a covenant in the Lord's presence to follow the Lord. The king stood at his post. That is an interesting statement. The king stood at, I'm not sure necessarily the significance historically of what that means. The king stood at his post. If you were to read this account in 2 Kings, it would say the king stood at his pillar. And I don't know what exactly the significance is in that. I looked really hard, but here's what I understand, just the limited amount of what I understand. This place was the place for where the king was supposed to be, in the temple. It was his place. It was the kingly place to be. It was identified with him. I imagine nobody else would be standing in this spot. This is a spot identified as the king's spot. Probably had a little reserve sign there. You know, that people wouldn't just park in his spot. It was his spot. And from his place, from where he belongs, Josiah makes a covenant with the Lord. And look at the covenant. You can see he makes this covenant in verse 31 to follow the Lord and to keep his commandments, his decrees, his statutes with all his heart and with all his soul, to carry out the words of what was just read out loud. This is awesome. Josiah goes to his place, his kingly place, and from that place, he makes this all-in statement. Josiah is like, I'm all in. Everything I am is bowed before you, Lord. Everything I am is committed to following your way, is committed to following your commands, your statutes, your laws. It is an all-in statement that he makes. This moment is so powerful. All of who I am is bowing to you and submitting to you. Here I am, Lord, in my kingly place. All of me, even in my kingly place, I bow before you. That's a huge statement of submission and humility, isn't it? Just think about that for a second, the symbolism of that. Josiah goes to the place that is dedicated for the king. And from the kingly place, he bows down and he submits to the Lord. As if to say, not even my kingship is greater than who you are. Not even this place of recognition that I have, my pillar, is greater than who you are. I submit from this place. And he throws the spotlight of authority on God instead of on himself. That's huge. Think about that for a second. How often is it that we make a commitment to God? How often is it that we make commitments to the Lord, but we have within our commitment this fine print understanding with the Lord? I'm going to bow before you in these areas, but there are those kingly places in our lives that we don't go to bow before the Lord. It's like, okay, Lord, I am bowed before you, and I submit my life to you. Help me, Lord. And usually it comes from that place. We're desperate. We need his help. And so we bow before him in desperation, but the fine print never makes it into our agreement. We have these kingly pillars in our life that we don't go to and submit from there, because those are those precious places we're not quite ready to let go of yet. Don't you know, all of us have kingly places in our lives. And God is waiting for us to go stand at our kingly place, in our post where we have our authority is grounded in that place, and he wants us from there to bow before him and be like, even in this place, God, I bow before you. In my kingly place. We have kingly places, don't we? It's like, I'll bow before you, God, but you know what? Can we just leave my finances out of this equation? Because you really, you know, you got cattle on a thousand hills. What do you need my money for anyway, God? You know, and it's like I'm saving for that whatever anyway. And can we not put my finance? Can we not put my time there, God? I bow before you in so many ways, and I love worshiping in your church. And you saw me raising hands in services tonight, so we should be good. But not my time, God. My time is set aside for something else. God, I bow before you, and I want all that you have for me, for sure, God. I certainly want everything you got for me, blessings anyway. And I submit to you. I bow before you. I love you. I go to church. But can we leave this relationship out of it? Can we leave this habit alone? Let's just pretend like it's not there. Between me and you, it's just not even. We have these little fine print things. And I'll tell you this straight up right now. God absolutely knows with the best clarity possible the kingly places in your life that you haven't let go of yet. And can I just clue you in tonight that he wants them? He wants you to bow before him even in the things you hold most precious to you. He wants those kingly places. From that kingly place, Josiah entered into a covenant. It said he made a covenant in the Lord's presence. That word covenant is an interesting word. The Hebrew word is berith, and that word means cut covenant. And literally what it means is when people entered into a covenant, when you see that word in the Old Testament, there is a sacrifice that takes place, and that there is bloodshed, and the pieces are cut and separated. And usually the process is the person making the covenant passes through the pieces as a sign saying, what happened to these pieces happened to me if I don't keep the covenant I've just made. This is the most serious of relationships that you can enter into. This agreement is that Josiah is making here is the most serious of relationships and agreements that you can make. And here's the thing, because the word covenant's used a lot. They would do it in business agreements. They would do it in a lot of different ways. You read through the Old Testament, and you run across that word a lot, not just between us and God, but between people. The thing that really stands out to me about this is that Josiah makes this huge agreement, this sacred, powerful, weighty agreement, and he does it in front of the eyes of all the people. He does it in front of the eyes of all the people. There are gathered around him all these eyes who have just heard the rule and the law of God. They just heard the book of the covenant, and they saw their king make this agreement with God in front of their eyes. Josiah invites them to watch his life. It's an invitation. It's like, you know what? I'm making this. This is who I am, and this I'm bowing before God, and I, in front of all these eyes, am saying to you tonight, I am going to follow him. Huge statement. He doesn't whisper it. This isn't something that he just does in the silence of his heart, you know, during the time the music is playing, you know, at the invitation of temple services, you know. He's like, okay, yeah, man, that's me. He says it out loud, boldly, and with symbolism, and in front of the eyes of all the people. What a statement. What a powerful statement. This is who God is, and this is who he is to me. This is who I am in life. How do we make such a statement? How do we do that in our lives? Because I've yet to see anybody cut apart an animal and walk through them, the pieces, here at East Haven. It's not a practice we typically do, and we're not gonna. But how do we make such a declarative statement in our midst? How do we do that? Because what I know is Matthew 5 says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good deeds and glorify the Father. There is a call for us to make this public declaration of who we are. Can I just say, we saw one of those declarations tonight. A declarative statement was made tonight. Do you remember? We started our service with it. It's baptism. That's what Kylie was saying tonight. She was making this bold statement in front of all your eyes, saying, this is who Jesus is, and this is who I am, and this is how he's changed my life, and I'm trusting him. It's one of the ways we do it, isn't it? Baptism, it's one of our opportunities to make this public declaration of the change God has made in our life. It's what Josiah did back then, and it's what we're called to do too. Can I just say there's other ways that we do that too, because God is faithful to give us opportunities, these declaration opportunities as we do life. We will encounter moments in life, these intersections in which our life intersects with something else that we then have an opportunity, a platform that God has given to us to step up on the stage, so to speak, of whatever's going on and saying, look, I'm a follower of Jesus. He's changed my life. This is how he's changed my life. And you just need to know this is who he is to me, and I will follow him and not follow the world. I will follow him and not choose these things because of who he is in my life. I will follow him. God gives us opportunities to make these big declarations for him. And he wants us to. He wants us to. It's important to have these moments to declare out loud in the eyes of the public, to take what is private and shine it out there and say, this is who Jesus is to me. We have these opportunities all the time. It could be as simple as an opportunity of you have people in your life and you do like Josiah did, and he takes them to church and you take them to church and you haven't invited them to church before because you're like, what are they going to think? I'm a kind of a freak because I sing these songs and all that. But really what that is this opportunity to have a look into your life to see how important Jesus is to you and to make this declarative statement. When we sing, you know, when we just got done singing Awesome Is He, which is a great song, right? What are we doing? We are making this public statement of who God is. We are declaring out loud, this is who God is. Boy, I hope when we sing those words, when we gather to worship, it's more than just sounding good, but it is singing out the truth of the change God has made for us. We're called to make declarative statements about who he is and the difference he's made in our life. And God wants us to do that. He wants us to do that. Josiah takes this opportunity, and he could have kept it private, but he goes public in front of all these eyes. But he doesn't stop there. He doesn't just stop at this declaration. He gives them opportunity too. And I want to just finish real quick by looking at that. This opportunity really starts when Josiah reads the word to them. This opportunity really starts. He gives the people, all the people who are gathered, he gives them opportunity to respond and to be changed just like he was changed. And it starts with the reading of the word. It was the same word that was read to Josiah. And when Josiah heard the word of the Lord, it broke his heart. Do you remember that? It broke his heart. He recognized the truth of God and the truth of him, and he just what? He ripped his shirt, remember? And it was the symbol of the broken heart inside of Josiah as he recognized his own condition. Josiah reads those same words. Josiah reads them. I love that he's doing the reading now. He reads the words that changed his life to all the people, and they get the same opportunity he got to hear the word and respond to the word. But we can go a long ways with that, can't we? Can I just simply just say it like this? We've received the gospel, and it was a life-changing gospel, wasn't it? Changed our lives. Somewhere along the way, we heard the good news, and it came, we recognized our helplessness, our brokenness, and good news came as we sought the one who can fix our brokenness. And we can leave it just right here, but or we can take what we've heard, say the same thing of what we heard to other people and give them the same opportunity to respond. That's what we're called to do. He reads the same words, gives them the same opportunity, and he offers it to the nation. He reads the words to the people and he gives it, he takes it to his nation. And I'm asking you, are you taking God's word to your nation? Your nation. I'm not talking big global like the United States of America nation. I'm talking about your personal nation, your little kingdom. You know, if you were to gather all the people of your kingdom, those people that are in your sphere of influence, that's who I'm talking about. Josiah took what he received and took it to his nation. Obviously, he's got a bigger sphere of influence than probably we do. Some of you may have an equal influence as Josiah, not me personally. But our call is still the same, to take it to our nation. Who's your nation? Who's in your sphere of influence? We've talked about this before when we've gone through, you know, when we've looked at the three circles of a way of presenting the gospel. We have encouraged you to identify who is in your sphere of influence that you can then give those words that changed your life forever. Josiah did it, and our call is the same, to take it to the nation. Now, Josiah certainly has a unique level of authority in this situation that we don't enjoy necessarily. Verse 32 says, he had all those present enter into this covenant. He's the king, right? He's like, okay, everybody else, enter into it. You know, in that kind of government, that level of king versus not king kind of relationship, you just heard what you were told, and you're like, okay, yeah, I'm going to do it. And we don't have that level of authority, and I don't think necessarily that's, you know, we don't force people to enter into a relationship with Christ. So it was a unique situation for sure. And if you were to read the narrative that follows the story of Josiah, that follows after Josiah's reign, you'll see that for the majority of the people, there wasn't much of a heart change. It was a short 13 years or so later that the wheels come off and they go back to doing their detestable things and worshiping idols. And you're left with this kind of understanding that the change that's made here for the people as a nation was, for the most part, a skin-deep change and not a heart-deep change. And so I found myself asking myself this as I was studying for this story. Was this a wasted moment by Josiah? Was this a waste of time? I was like, man, Josiah, why? God's judgment's coming. Why are you wasting your time with the people who, as soon as you're dead, are going to go back to worshiping idols? What a wasted moment. And I would say to you, absolutely not was this a waste of time. Absolutely not. No way. First of all, I would say this. God is always glorified when we take what we have received from Him and give it to others. God is always glorified when we take that which we've received from Him, the good news of who He is, the good news of Jesus Christ, and we give it to others. That is never a waste of time. It doesn't depend on the other people's response. It's never a waste of time because God is always glorified when it happens. He's always glorified. Second, the nation as a whole may eventually have fallen into these detestable things and idols, but you know, we don't know on an individual basis who heard these words and it went heart deep. We don't know that. We get these big national descriptions of what's going on, but the truth is there very well could have been people and families who heard the news and did the same thing that Josiah did when they heard it, and it was a heartfelt change. It went clear to the heart. Here's why I think that. If you were to go further into Second Chronicles ends with them getting hauled off to Babylon. Not that much longer after Josiah dies, a few failed kings of, and then Nebuchadnezzar comes and hauls them away. And then if you flip over to the book of Daniel, when that story picks up, the exiles, those who have been hauled away into captivity, it picks up that storyline, and Daniel is one of the people hauled into captivity. Daniel is, Hananiah is, Mishael, Azariah, or Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They're all there, and they're making decisions for the Lord. They arrived in that land trusting in God. I don't know how they got to that place. Who are these godly men who are in captivity, and they are just a generation or so removed from all these idol worshipers? How did that happen? I don't know, but I do know that Josiah had a moment in which he stood before all the people and he gave all the people the good news of what had happened to him and the good news about God and the restoration that God can do if we have broken hearts before Him. And he sent that word out to people, and I think some people picked it up, and it was a heartfelt change, and we saw the remnant continue to follow God even through captivity. My point is this. It's not our job to worry about the response of others. That's between God and them. It is our job to make this declaration of who Christ is, who Jesus is, who God is to us, and then offer that same opportunity to others. And let God deal with the response. And He'll change lives. He will. Our job is just to declare what we've received and offer opportunity for others to do the same. I love that. I was reading this illustration by a guy named Rob Salvato. He was another pastor. And he had this illustration about boats. I like boats. It was interesting. He says, if you're speaking to a group of people, they'll be one of three boats. All of us are one of three boats. You're either a rowboat, a sailboat, or a steamboat. A rowboat, you have to force to go in the direction you want it to go. You have to row it to get there. A sailboat's going to go whichever way the wind is blowing, whatever feels right at the time. It's just like, well, this is cool, you know. And it might even be a churchy thing. It'd be like, wow, yeah, I'm going to do this because everybody else is doing this. This is awesome. The wind's blowing this way. I'm going this way. Or a steamboat, which is this internally driven boat that goes because of what's happened on the inside. And I say that because I think in Josiah's crowd, those three exist. In this crowd, those three exist. Some of you may be here because you got dragged here. And it's like, well, I'm coming because if I don't, I'm going to hear about it. And it's a rowboat thing. Some of you here because it feels good and you just, other people are happy about coming and they're cool people here and you like to be around cool people and the wind kind of blew you this way and that's cool, I'm glad you're here. But what really God wants is for us to be here and to respond to Him from this internal place. He wants to do a deep level change in our life that drives us to follow Him because of what He's done on the inside. And that's what we're about here. And it's those steamboat people then take what we've received and give it to other people. That's what we do. See, what God really wants are people with deep heart change who declare out loud to their nation who He is and what He has done, and then offers the opportunity to those people to experience the same thing. That's what God wants. When we declare who He is, He's glorified. But we don't stop at that. We declare who He is and what He's done in our life, and then we extend the invitation to others. We read to them the same words that changed us to them so that they have an opportunity to be changed just like us. That's our job. Josiah led out in such a great example here, and it's an example for us to follow. I would ask you this tonight. Few things for you to consider as we enter into a time of response. First, are there kingly places in your life that need to be surrendered to the Lord? Kingly places. Places in which you stand that you don't let God be Lord over, because boy, tonight's the night to change that. If you don't surrender those to the Lord, then those places rule you and God never will. Because those will always get in the way of the Lord. They always will. And so tonight's the night to listen to what the Holy Spirit is saying to you and let go of those things. Whatever it is, let God be in control of your life. The other thing, are you declaring who He is? follower of Jesus, are you declaring, are you making a public statement about the great private change that's been made in your life? Are you going before the eyes of the people and saying, this is who he is, this is what he's done, you got to hear my story? Are you reading the words that changed you to other people? Those are the challenges before us tonight. You take a moment, pray, and respond to whatever God is saying to you. You can be a rowboat. We can try to force you into things, and I'm not interested in that. God's not. I don't want you to do this just because everybody else is doing it. But what I want you to do is allow God to do a real work in your life and respond to the change he wants to do in you.
Thanks for listening. If you're interested in more info, find us on the web at easthaven.org.